This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting down with Dave Harness, director, and Kerry White, deputy director of Buffalo EMS. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we've got a few questions we wanted to go over just because this is confusing. This whole issue with Buffalo EMS, rural health care, there's a lot of questions that maybe have been answered but not answered fully, and some questions that just haven't been asked. So I think that's what we want to do is sit down and just kind of get things out in the open and give people the information that we feel needs to be out there.
Well, thank you, Aaron, for having us, and we look forward to sharing our knowledge and what is happening and what has happened with Buffalo EMS.
Okay. Buffalo EMS is a private company that is contracted by the Rural Healthcare District Board to provide ambulance services in Buffalo and the northern region of Johnson County. The contract commits both parties for a certain period of time, but the amount budgeted for operating costs is negotiated each year. Rural Healthcare is a taxpayer-funded special use district and is also responsible for the ambulance service in Casey and in southern Johnson County. Totally different situation from up here in the north. Let's talk about contract and the budget. The mix of private contractor and public money can be confusing. The model is a bit different from any other ambulance services. Can you explain how that works to the people listening?
Well, I don't think it's a lot different than a lot of the small ambulances in the, around the country and in Wyoming. Certainly, the smaller the town, the harder it is to provide ambulance 24/7 and keep personnel and your updated ambulances, et cetera, because we just don't bring in the kind of funds that other services have the ability to bring in. And the smaller the town, the more they're going to have to be subsidized by government or government money if they want to keep the ambulance alive. It's like having a fire department or a police department would be a better example. Having a police department that, who funds that? You know, but they're essential services and they're funded by the government. Ambulance happens not to be considered an essential service in Wyoming, and I'm a little bit surprised that they're not, and I look forward to the day that they can be. But, you know, the government money falling into private hands needs to be completely and utterly transparent. We had a complete assessment a few years ago by a company called SafeTech out of Minnesota, and they run assessments on ambulance services all over the world, actually. They just finished the entire state of Alaska a couple of years ago and gave them how they can improve or be better at what they do. Now, when SafeTech evaluated our ambulance, they found Buffalo EMS to be what they considered a best practice that is a model that need be, you know, reinvented nationwide. And because we do it at a cost that's affordable to the users of the ambulance, and we do it at a cost that can be afforded by our government entities, rural healthcare district. And honestly, the cost of an ambulance is mostly the people. You know, we have to have EMTs on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And right now, if we had a crisis, I could have 8 EMTs at my door within 5 minutes. And most little towns aren't, you know, that share services with regional places don't have that luxury. They have 2 people that are on call, and when that ambulance goes out, there's not another ambulance that's within an hour from there. And I'm thinking of little towns in Wyoming, Basin, Sundance, Grable, Worland, They're all regionally provided. And as far as what it cost our community, for example, last year, the Buffalo EMS ambulance didn't cost the taxpayers any money. In fact, we brought in more money from user fees than our budget. And so did the taxpayers, is that transparent? I think it is. I think just because everything that we brought in goes out. And I don't know that the public is aware of all the things that Buffalo EMS pays for. Maintenance of the ambulance, fuel, tires, all of the people who work here. And
all
supplies.
That is built into your budget. That
right.
You ask
all
for
built
year.
Into that okay. budget. It's it, yeah, it is. And so, you know, I think, you know, the out-of-county transfers make us, Buffalo EMS makes the county a good portion of that money that we brought in last year. And by out-of-county transfers, it means that we go to Sheridan and transport a patient from Sheridan to Casper or for Sheridan to Billings because that particular ambulance service doesn't have enough people on hand or all their people are busy and they just don't have a rig. We did one two nights ago from Sheridan to Casper. And, you know, we're doing fewer of those this year than we did last year just because Sheridan has a new system.
That's when all this started is when Sheridan had their problems with their their ambulance service last year.
Yeah, they didn't have enough manpower to, you know, keep the ambulance up and running to suit Sheridan's needs.
Okay, so, but those are still going to happen this year, just maybe not at the same volume that it
exactly.
happened last year. Okay, yeah. Tell me a little bit about that, because that moves us into our next, or did you have something you wanted
well,
to...
Well, I would just like to mention that since January of 2022, the revenue generated from those out-of-county transfers were over $500,000. Currently, we've received $459,000 with $45,000 in accounts receivable. And like Dave mentioned, we don't anticipate the volume to be that high, but it is a win-win situation. The money goes to the Rural Healthcare District, and then they in turn will give Buffalo EMS a percentage for the extra fuel cost and the extra payroll for the EMTs and the drivers. So it is a win-win situation because also we're able to help a neighboring county. Mm-hmm. And hospital, and ultimately we're here for patient care. And so the patient also wins and is able to be transported sooner than normal.
Let's talk about, because Dave, you mentioned this, that the money that Buffalo EMT, or, excuse me, EMS brought, EMT, MRS brought, EMS brought in last year, was it more than paid for the services that you provided? Can you give me the numbers on that real quick?
Well, the $750,000 was our proposed budget for the last 2 years, and with patient fees for ambulance fees and the out-of-county transfers, we made over $800,000. So we actually made more money than we had expended for Buffalo EMS.
And just so I'm clear, this money all went to Rural Healthcare.
That's correct.
Okay. So your yeah. services were paid in full.
Yeah. Taxpayer dollars didn't enter into what we did last year.
Okay.
And we are able to use a lot of that money. And I say we, the Rural Healthcare District is able to use that extra money to help pay for deficits and then also for cash carryover and to purchase a new ambulance. This year, and new ambulances range from 200 to 275,000, and we do have a request for the purchase of a new ambulance, but the The lead time is about 2 years. So if we start to build one right now, we might get it, 2 years from now. So we need to take action on that as well.
And my understanding is these ambulances that you have are over the next few years are all going to need to be replaced.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. Okay. As is, some of the other equipment, such as life packs and the other medical equipment, cots and hydraulic cots. So I think the board has a plan for that. And Dr. Schuler, who is the current treasurer, is kind of working at a plan to put more money to allow for the depreciation reserves so that they can have a plan to maybe every 2 years purchase a new ambulance or a life pack. So
plan in place. Good.
Yes.
The current 4-year contract was negotiated in 2020 and it's almost up again and you're in the process of negotiating a new one.
Yes. Now,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, the contract in 2020 was for a 3-year with a possible 1-year extension. In February of this year, the board did offer Buffalo EMS a 4-year contract, pending that the terms of the contract can be negotiated in a timely manner. And with that in mind, we negotiate the budget on an annual basis. So this is just, this contract for 4 years gives the community stability, saying Buffalo EMS will operate the ambulance service for another 4 years instead of worrying, like many communities in Wyoming, about if they'll be able to keep their ambulance service. I think Dave could probably speak to why it's important to the community. It's also important to our employees and EMTs, and just to have a contract that spans more than 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
So the contract that we got in 2020 wasn't a contract that Carrie or I agreed with, in as much as it didn't have the transparency that either of us would like to see in a contract. I'm a taxpayer, and I want to know where my tax dollars are going. And the contract that we were given and that the board decided would give us didn't show that transparency. They wanted one lump sum. They were advised by their attorneys that that would be the best for rural health care. If we got one lump sum and we took care of the maintenance, the fuel, the tires, and all of the things it takes to run an ambulance along with the personnel and retirement and insurance and all of that, that money, it comes in one chunk. And that chunk 4 years ago and last year was $750,000. And now, is that more than enough? No. And do we, what do we need? Right now, what ambulance services need is good running ambulances and warm bodies, people to get in the back of that ambulance. And we've had what I consider one of the best crews around. And, in 40 plus years, we've never had a lawsuit. We've never had a complaint, actually, from the ambulance that is on record from us.
Okay. This year's budget jumped from $750,000 last year, the requested budget, and it was just approved here a couple of weeks ago, correct? For $830,000. Why the jump?
Personnel mostly. I think Carrie does our payroll, and we're looking at right now, we've lost a couple of really good people that have retired from our service. Gary Spade, Rob Cota, both retired from our service. And can we replace them? It'd be pretty hard, but we're trying, which means going maybe out of the community and hiring people to come in. If, you know, if we're going to spend more money, we want to spend it on good people.
And that, Aaron, is just an $80,000 increase, which is around 11%. And I've noticed that other county entities and government entities within the state are having a similar increase just due to the cost of living. And so the fuel costs for us...
I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah, okay. Have increased so much in the last budget year that we really did under budget the fuel costs for this year, ending June 30th. Our health insurance and liability insurance is going up, and Buffalo EMS also pays for all of the medical supplies, which of course are going up as well. Not only that, is we are having we're putting out more money in education. We've had 2 basic classes, an EMR, an advanced class, and we're already talking about having an intermediate. Those cost money for books and the programs, and then the continuing education as well costs money. So we love to be educated and keep growing, and in order to do that, it does cost some extra funds. So we don't feel like an $80,000 increase after we've followed our last year's budget and provided that to the board. We feel like it's in line with other requests from other entities.
Well, and to repeat what Dr. Schuler, our treasurer, said in the last meeting, is that when he puts his pencil to paper, what it would cost to run a service of this nature is quite a bit more than what our budget is, and he feels like it's a good value for the community.
Okay. Also, another thing I wanted to add was this $750,000 budget was set for 2 years. You didn't get an increase from 2 years ago to last year. So this year you're asking for.
That's correct. Okay. Yes.
And we're not over budget, but our fuel budget right now from all the out of county transfers is at 150%+. So our fuel budget has, and that's just on Buffalo EMS's shoulders, you know.
Right. You guys have to take care of that expense yourself. You touched on out-of-county transfers. Does taking on these out-of-county transfers, does that result in diminished services for Buffalo?
No. I would never jeopardize the coverage that we have in our county by sending someone to Sheridan to take one of their cases. You know, we've turned down a few, but we have the staff to do it, and it certainly has been a boon to the rural healthcare district.
Okay, fair enough. Let's switch gears and let's talk about the new ambulance barn. The rural healthcare district has been awarded grants in the area of about $875,000 and has already purchased land for $80,000 on the South Bypass property by County Fire. The grant money has to be spent before December of 2026. Currently, ambulances are housed at your premises at 351 North Adams. What is your opinion about a designated barn facility out there on South Bypass?
Well, I've never agreed with the location. And, you know, do we need an ambulance barn right now? Probably not. Would it be nice? Yes, it would. I mean, we're not opposed to having a big, pretty building with a training facility and a wash bay. And
similar to the one in KC.
Yeah, that's very nice. Anyway. But, you know, right now, I don't think the money's there. And sure, they have a grant. But after the building is built, are they going to be able to afford to maintain it. There's a couple of other buildings in town that have given that impression as far as the longevity and keeping them financed. Certainly, the new barn would be great, but, you know, so would a helicopter. But, you know, if we can't afford to maintain the helicopter, you know, why would we buy one, even if we had a grant, $1 million grant to buy one? So yes to the barn, no to the site, and probably no to the barn right now, because we don't know what the future is going to bring. And, you know, what are we going to be able to afford? When you're laying on the street or underneath a car, what do you want? You want reliable, educated personnel driving a really dependable ambulance. People lying underneath that car don't care where it came from, long as it's warm and clean. And that's how I feel about a new barn. We have adequate facilities here. And the number has been thrown out to the public on how much the county pays per month for those buildings. Well, it doesn't really. And I think Carrie can help me with that. We have one budget. Everything's included in that budget. If our fuel bill goes over 150%, where do you think that money comes from? Money's got to come from the rest of that budget, which included the number of $1,200 a month that has been thrown around. That really doesn't even exist, because we don't get a check for $1,200 a month. We have one lump sum budget that we have to live within.
And that $1,200 you're talking about was, excuse me, based on, here's the office at Buffalo EMS, and that's what it, quote unquote, is supposedly paid for. So the question has been, should they remove that $1,200 from the budget? Because why?
Well, you know, the budget is just the budget. And if we go, you know, 150% over on our gas fuel bill, and if we go, you know, 100% over on personnel, that money's got to come from somewhere.
And that $1,200 was in the original contract. If the board were to provide services elsewhere, such as office rent or ambulance barn rent, then that was a figure that they had designated that they would be able to reduce the budget by. But at this point, they don't have an optional site yet. Now, I would like to applaud the board for looking in the future. And yes, I believe we are going to need an ambulance barn facility update at some point. And it's great to look ahead. And the board has asked Buffalo EMS to be a part of the committee to look at a building. But those negotiations are just in its infancy. We had an initial building drawing made up by a Poland barn type building. But now we're going to start to get some quotes and prices. And I think that's when the board can determine if it's affordable. But until they do that, and with Buffalo EMS's input on, what's needed for training space and office space, I think we're going to move forward with that, with the board's assistance.
And at the end of the day, Aaron, excuse me, you know, if it comes right down to, do we pay people or do we charge for a building? You know, my buildings are here and I'm going to take care of the county. And if I had to donate that, I would. And if the money's not there, the building still is.
Okay. Let me make sure I understand this. So the Rural Healthcare District Board, that $1,200 figure, what they're talking about, see if I understand this correctly, is that they have a new facility where they're going to have, you know, office spaces, blah, blah, blah. Then the argument was that that would take $1,200-ish out of your guys' budget because it wouldn't be housed here. Is right. that my understanding?
Okay. That's correct. Yes.
Okay, so that's the not really the argument, but that's...
That was built into the original contract in 2020. Okay. If that were to happen, that they had this amount built in there that they, per month, the $1,200 per month for office rent and then $1,200 a month for ambulance barn rent. But in my opinion, the what's missing here is there is not an optional facility right now. So we're still negotiating the budget and the contract for the next 4 years. And we're working that out.
Okay, that makes sense. But then again, this is still an overall budget. Why does that specific piece seem to be so important when you're talking about an overall budget with an increase in fuel costs, increased in this cost, that cost, on and so forth? Why is that such an argument, do you think? Or is that the $1 million question?
That is the $1 million. We don't necessarily understand that because it really is a bigger picture here. And I think Dr. Schuller spoke to it at the last meeting, saying that the Buffalo EMS is providing an excellent service at a bargain price, and let's focus on patient care and being fiscally responsible. And both Dave and I want to be transparent and have been transparent and want to work toward a contract that offers more transparency detail to the public. And that's what we're wanting to work on.
So what's been the holdup there with the quote-unquote transparency issue?
The fact that we were working under the original three-year contract.
Okay.
And that's the holdup. And so now we are renegotiating the contract. And it takes several months to do that. And
wanting to bring all this stuff up in the new contract.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Perfect. We would like to go back to the old system that we had, which was a voucher system. Every penny that came into the Rural Healthcare District was marked and logged. Every penny that goes out is marked and logged. I mean, for fuel, for supplies, for, you know, every single thing that is spent, it comes out in the voucher. Then the public can go in to our records and see exactly where every penny goes. That's what it was before, but that's what they've changed, you know. And this, the board we have, you know, Dr. Schuller, Marie Gammon, and Miller, I'm old. I remember her being single, maybe. And, you know, Brittany Camino, Adam Michelina, Marilyn
Conley.
Marilyn and Conley, they're doing a really good job right now trying to be transparent. And let's face it. There's a lot of little communities who have lost their ambulance service. We used to have an ambulance in Lynch. We used to have an ambulance and crew in Claremont. We used to have an ambulance and crew in Story. They had two ambulances and 17 EMTs in Story. I mean, all of those places now don't have an ambulance. And places like Worland are having to do regional. Newcastle are doing regional. Sundance is doing regional, where they bring in, you know, from Cody or from Gillette, they bring in a couple people and put them in a barn. They wait. If something happens, they go. If they have to go, then there's no other ambulance. And they have to wait an hour to get another one in. Where was it was at Worland. They had a football player lying on the field for like 45 minutes before an ambulance could even get there, which, you know, that's atrocious. That's an atrocity. And we hope never to see that in Buffalo.
Okay. Let's shift gears again. EMT shortages. Let's discuss that. Many sectors are currently experiencing shortages in their workforces. That is certainly true in the healthcare sector as well. Providers report significant shortages in nurses, CNAs, and other essential healthcare workers, and it's leading to them not being able to meet patients' needs. For example, here at the Amy Holt Care Center, they don't have all of their beds full because they don't have enough bodies there to take care of the people. Ambulance services are struggling, some even failing, leaving communities reliant on neighboring services, just like you said. So what is the situation here in Buffalo? You mentioned you had a couple EMTs that left. Are you in a dire situation? Are you looking at replacing them? How difficult is that situation here locally?
Well, nationwide, personnel is a broad problem. We're not where we were 20 years ago or even 10 years ago with people wanting to volunteer their services and give 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of their time like they have in KC and Buffalo. And KC has done an excellent job keeping their service alive. But it's costing more and more money because people are wanting less and less to volunteer in these small towns. And so we're going to have to, if we want the people, we're going to have to come up with the money. And are we in dire straits? No, not right now. But, you know, what's a year from now? What's 2 years from now? What's 4 years from now? We have to start planning for that. And we have to, we've put ads in different places. Out of town, we have one guy from California that's applied. We have another guy that's a paramedic that's living in Sheridan that's applied maybe to do some work for us here. We're looking at maybe bringing on a full-time guy that we trained here, but it all costs money. And, you know, for people to move here and find a place to live, is harder than training the people that live here now, just because, you know, rent is expensive and there's a housing shortage. There's certainly a rent shortage. And so we are struggling to find people, places to live. That's for sure.
So that is an issue in Buffalo, is even if you get somebody that's interested, where are they going to live?
Right.
Okay.
And can they afford it?
Right.
Right. Aaron, the EMT shortage is twofold. The first is retaining our current EMTs. And, you know, their low pay, the stress, the fatigue, it's tough for the EMTs. And then the second step is in recruiting. And we need to do a better job of that. And we're looking into recruiting perhaps at the high school level. We've been working with Sheridan College and offering, they've offered more classes just as they have with the CNAs and their excellent nursing program. We just need to be out there. We need to be a face and have the better strategies in recruiting our members. But like Dave said, the affordability of living in Buffalo is a major hurdle that we have to address.
Okay. Those are the questions I have. Do you guys have anything that you want to add that I didn't ask?
Well, if there's anybody out there in listener land that would like to start a career in medicine, we certainly would, you know, love to train them. We've had numerous young people go through our program that are now doctors all over the country and that started here with us. Dr. Ruby, Dr. Goddard, we got dermatologists. We have one of our young men that's now a transplant surgeon in Houston, Texas. And we're, you know, in family practice, OB docs, all kinds of people, and nurses by the score that have come through us and are now working here as, you know, or there or wherever as nurses. And this, you know, it's a really good on an application for med school or nursing school if you started when you were in high school. We have a couple of high school kids right now that are going through one of our classes, and hopefully they'll get out of high school and they'll go to college, and we'll have them in the summers for 3 or 4 years, like we did all those other young doctors, my son, my daughter, both worked here as EMTs, and Carrie's daughter was an EMT for us for several years. And so if you're out there and you'd like to talk about it, I'm always ready to listen.
Very good. Carrie?
Well, I would like to say that Buffalo EMS is looking forward to working with the current board, and we have a positive outlook on the future. This isn't doom and gloom. We're going to carry on. We're going to address the issues that we have, and whether it's with the EMT shortage, budget constraints, whatever that is, we're glad to work with the current board and to continue the quality of patient care that Johnson County has come to know and rely on, and that's what we're wanting to do in the future.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is Dave Harness, Director, and Carrie White, Deputy Director of the Buffalo EMS. Thank you so much for joining us here on 307 Net Radio. And again, thank you.
Thank you, Aaron, for having us.